Welcome to the world's greatest podcast, known as Courtside, with Greenberg and Dockage. I'm Seth Greenberg. Today on the podcast, game day is headed to College Park this weekend. So we're talking to Maryland head coach Mark Turgeon. We don't have his assistant, Scott Van Pelt, but he will be at game day. Turgeon's got some thoughts on that technical foul called on Anthony Cowan at the end of the game. He's not killing the officials, but it is news. It's a little on the juicy side. Before we get started, I want to remind you to subscribe, rate, and review the podcast wherever you're listening. It really helps us and helps other people find the show. And you know other people want to find the show because it is the world's greatest podcast. Also, tell a friend about the world's greatest podcast and tweet us by using the hashtag Courtside. We bring it every week. We're real. We're a little bit neurotic, but you know, it comes with being a fired head coach. We have great guests, and what else can you ask for? Also, be sure to check out this week's episode of Hoop Collective. The guys are digging into the NBA MVP race, discussing how dominant LeBron James has been and when to raise the warning flag on the Clippers, and are they all in on the Rockets' small lineup? Find it wherever you get your podcasts. And finally, before we get started, let's talk to about our friends at Vivid Seats. We all love a night out, whether it's seeing our favorite band or being in a crowd to cheer on our favorite team. With Vivid Seats Rewards Loyalty Program, you can attend the contest or show of your choice and earn credit towards your next live event. Vivid Seats is the top source for tickets for all live events. You can sort by price or you can look seats in the section you want, the row you want, your choice, all in the Vivid Seats app. To make things even better, Vivid Seats now has a loyalty program that allows fans to earn credit back. All you need to do is use the Vivid Seats app to purchase tickets and start earning today. Go to the App Store or Google Play and download the Vivid Seats app. Fans are automatically enrolled in the Vivid Seats Rewards loyalty program. And when you make your next purchase, enter the code ESPN25 for a 10% off your next order. Every purchase is backed by a 100% buyer guarantee. From the biggest concerts and games to the hottest theaters and shows and more, Vivid Seats has it all. Download the app and join the Vivid Seats royalty program today. And don't forget to use the promo code ESPN25 for 10% off your next order. Make a memory that lasts a lifetime and let the Vivid Seats app help you get your favorite seats to your favorite live events.
For the win! Yes! Yes!
At the buzzer, McCord on its way!
Oh, oh, oh my goodness! Oh!
They have to get it. With no timeouts, they do.
Courtside with Greenberg and Dockage, the definitive college basketball podcast.
Welcome to the world's greatest podcast, better known as Courtside, or is it Courtside, better known as the world's greatest podcast? But it is the world's greatest podcast because we talk ball. We talk it in a real way. We talk it from our point of view, which is having years and years, wins and losses of experience. D squared.
Yes, sir.
What kind of mood are you in today? How is life?
You sounded snarky when we came on the air, so I defer to you. I'm always in
a good mood. I mean, life is good. I mean, I just figured we were going to give a little insight, some real insight into the game and the games to be played. So, D squared, here's it. This time of the year, we are less than 3 weeks away from Selection Sunday. So, like, once Selection Sunday comes out, obviously, Burgers, Bourbon, and Brackets will have this for sure. Television will have this for sure, but... As the brackets come out, there are going to be some teams some people are and aren't hot on. So I'm going to ask you, who's your number one team that, like, maybe people aren't talking about that you're hot on?
All right, I'm not going to say that I'm hot on. I'm going to say this, Seth Greenberg. When the bracket comes out and you are facing Virginia, you are going to say, "Ah, hell." Because Virginia is, contrary to what people think, Seth Greenberg, Virginia has won four games in a row. Virginia is 11-5 in the ACC. Virginia is 19-7. People have this thing with Virginia that Virginia is having an awful year, can't play. Nay, nay, Nanook, they are playing while teams like West Virginia are falling. I'll give you another one. The Michigan Wolverines are healthy.
Ooh, I like them. That was one of mine. Yes,
yeah.
Sir.
Hey, I'm all in. Who would you rather play right now? Who would you rather play right now? Michigan or Penn State?
I would rather play Penn State.
Me too.
Yeah, I'd rather have played Penn State, especially if Myron Jones doesn't come back.
Right.
They really miss his consistency and his shot making. And it seems like Dredd has not had a good year. He's made shots. There's a lot on Lamar.
Yeah. So you'd rather play Michigan, which I would rather play Michigan. That's how I'm looking at your question. Who would you rather? Let me ask you this, because I don't even know if they're in the tournament. Providence Friars have won three in a row.
Ooh, the Fighting Ed Cooleys.
Yes, and I've been talking about Butler all year. No. I'd rather play the Butler Bulldogs by far than the Providence Friars right now, Seth Greenberg. Who are yours?
Yeah, well, I really like Michigan. I think Michigan has a chance to be Elite Eight good. They've got a post player. They've got a point guard. They've got a wing scorer. They've developed depth when Livers was out. They've played through some adversity. I think that Juwan Howard has a good feel for his team, and his poise has been impressive during dealing with all these injuries. I like them a lot. I like Creighton. You talk about Creighton. Win at Villanova, win at Seton Hall, win at Marquette, beat Butler by 22, make every shot humanly possible. Zagorowski's he's a terrific player that no one talks about. I mean, Tyshawn Alexander, Ballack can make shots. They've got size. They're guarding better. I think they're a dangerous team. I'll tell you, I like BYU, and I like BYU before they beat Gonzaga. I like BYU because they got three dudes that can flat score. Like Hawes can score and pass. Tools can create separation. And I'll tell you, Yoli Childs is a matchup nightmare. The other thing, the reason I like BYU is because they are mature. They are tough. They are unflappable. I mean, they're about 30 years old. I mean, they're a team that what they did to Gonzaga the other day, they just punched them right in the face. I mean, they out-toughed Gonzaga. And I played Utah State all the time when I was at Long Beach State. And those older, more mature kids that have, you know, been through missions and lived on their own and done some tough things, when they come back, they're not afraid of anything. Anything. And, yeah, it was a great environment in the Marriott Center, but they are a tough, physical, nasty, aggressive, surly team. And then, I'd say the other team, and people are talking about it, but you can't simulate Florida State.
Mm.
Because what they did yesterday to Louisville in the second half, and I know Malik Williams was injured, and I know that was their third game in 6 days. Let me tell you something. Like, Chris Mack ran no offense. You know, if I saw the ball dribbled one more time and gone nowhere, I was literally sitting in the studio losing my mind. Go, can you please pass the ball? Can someone cut? Jordan Nwora, I can guard you right now because you're standing behind the three-point line, all right, about 30 feet from the basket, watching one dude dribble the ball. Can someone like back cut and fill or screen and curl because they're switching and replace and reverse it and then maybe attack it? I mean, like, Louisville ran no offense whatsoever. They didn't move the defense. And I understand Florida State, you can't simulate their length. I mean, they take up space. They, you know, Vassell's a shot maker. Patrick Williams is getting better. Osborne gives them some inside scoring. Trent Forrest is a great defense. I mean, I can, MJ Walker gives it. I mean, they got a lot of guys. But I was disappointed in Louisville, but you can't help but walk away from Florida State going, how do you prepare for that? So just off the top of my head, those are a couple things.
I agree with Florida State, man. I totally agree.
I thought Florida State
last night, man. They were making shots. They were, they look great to me. I mean, they didn't look so great in the first half, but they look pretty good in the second half. There are a number of teams. People always say this is the dumbest conversation that is currently going on TV right now, and we all participate in it. Who can make the Final Four? Well, I'm going to tell you. If you've paid attention to college basketball at all over the last 10 to 15 years, everybody can make the Final Four. Guys that were supposedly experts got egg all over their face And they played it well, but they got egg all over their face by saying VCU couldn't, shouldn't, wouldn't make the tournament. Then not only did they make the tournament playing the playing game, they made the Final Four. No one in the world would ever thought Texas Tech was going to be in the Final Four. No one in the world ever thought Loyola Chicago was ever going to be in the Final Four. Guess what? Who can make the Final Four? If you're in the field, everybody can make the Final Four except a 16 seed or a 15 seed. That's my take on the whole deal. There you go. I've had enough. People ask me, hey, can they make the Final Four? Well, did Loyola Chicago make the Final Four? Yeah, well, you can make the Final Four.
That's, and you know why? It goes back to your thing. Never what? D squared.
Give it
never
to me. I forget.
Points.
College What's basketball
that? Never dis-
oh, never disappoints. Never, no.
Every single night. Every
yes.
single night. We got great games, great
yes.
comebacks. We got guys coming back from 20 points. We got this. We got that. We got shot makers. We got every league guys battling to get in the tournament. I mean, there's no reason
yes.
not to watch college basketball right now. There's no reason not to watch it. You guys, kids playing their tails off just to get a chance to play in the NCAA tournament.
Right. And you got teams playing, the other guys are playing their tails off to win a conference championship, which although many of us in the media downplay, means a ton to players and coaches. Why does it mean a ton, you ask? Well, I just experienced it with a 20-year reunion. Everybody had their rings on, and everybody had a story. So there you go. Mark Turgeon, Maryland head coach, how in the hell are you?
I'm good, Dan. How you doing?
I'm good. Seth Greenberg good. Along with
we're
me.
We're celebrating basketball, Coach.
Yes.
So we're tired of people being doom and gloom about college basketball. We got great games. We got competitive games. We got people playing for championships. These kids are playing their tails off. You know what? College basketball is bigger than one player. It's about the teams and teams having a shared experience. We celebrate college basketball here on the World's Greatest Podcast. Your thoughts, Coach Turgeon?
Well, hey, I agree with you guys. And, you know, it's just that today's world, everybody's got to bring up a negative. You can win 19 straight, you lose your 20th, and they're going to talk about the 20th. So it's just the way it is. But I think college basketball is in a great place. You know, we probably have 30 teams this year that could make a Final Four, which I think is exciting, you know, for the fan bases and everybody that's involved. Maybe not quite that many. I'm not 100% sure. I don't sit there and study it like you guys do. But, you know, I do think we have one team that's really playing well right now in Kansas and trying to separate themselves a little bit. But it's a lot of really great teams, a lot of great coaches. This Big Ten's been terrific. Can't brag about it enough. Good players, really good teams, really good coaches, really great venues. Everywhere we go is a sellout and loud. And it's just been a special year for the Big Ten, that's for sure.
Coach, I got a question for you. You got Anthony Cowan. I'm like, this dude is going to start his 127th consecutive game. He's averaged 34 minutes a game, which is crazy. What does he mean to you? I mean, like you were a point guard. I mean, what having a guy like that by your side, 127 plus games, what does that mean to you?
Well, he's been rock solid the whole time too. So it's like if he started 127 games, he's been good in about 120 of them. You know, in some fashion, whether it's defense, distributing the ball, making shots. So he's been consistent and rock solid throughout. You know, it's funny when he came that summer, I thought he was going to be a backup for Melo, and about a week into, you know, summer workouts, I looked at our staff and I said, this sucker's starting. I don't know who's not starting, but this kid's starting. And he started ever since. And, you know, he's kind of got that, chip on the shoulder kind of thing and trying to prove people wrong. And it's been great to watch him grow as a person, watch him grow as a player, watch him grow as a leader. He's just done graduated in 3 years from college. I mean, he's just done some amazing things. So it's a big day that he's going to break this record of consecutive starts in a, you know, storied history of Maryland basketball. For him to break that is quite a, you know, and he grew up a Maryland fan. He wanted to be here. This is where he wanted to play. And for him to do this means a lot to him, but also means a lot to his family.
I contend that the referee that gave him a technical, which made him, you know, foul out, should have to sit out the first 5 minutes or however long that Anthony Cowan had to sit out at the end. I thought it was absurd. And Coach, I thought it was game-changing the other day.
Yeah, well, he's shooting a free throw. We cut it to four. You know, we've won a lot of those games.
Right.
There was not a lot going our way, though. We didn't get a very good all day. You know what I'm talking about. And just, you know, Caleb Westman was able to be a bully. But that was wrong. And I told him, I said, guys, I'm not going to have to say anything, and you guys are going to look bad. Because I watched the whole thing. I know exactly what happened, and you're wrong on this one, and you're going to look bad. I think they should all three have to say that. That's my opinion.
I
was hoping I'd get a call from the Big Ten apologizing. I haven't. I'm not going to waste my time and energy on sending things in or complaining because it does no good. But it was a bad call. You know, Anthony's apologizing to the team. And, you know, all he did, he showed frustration because he got tackled on the layup. You know, he looked at the ref and said, call the foul. And that's when he kicked his feet and kicked his arms. And he was just so frustrated, you know, throughout the day. And so it is what it is. We'll learn from it. We'll get better. But I agree. I thought it was one of those things. And social media took over and did what they had to do for us. But I sat there and I told all three of them, I said, you guys are going to look really bad on this one. And they did.
I totally agree.
Yeah, I'll tell you what, that's a hard thing because, you know, as you know, you never win that battle. And the sending in tape to the league office is the biggest waste of time. I believe me, I spent a lot of time doing it. And like, it makes you feel good when you send it in, but it doesn't, it just doesn't do anything for you. You know what I mean?
No,
there's no sense, especially your team. It's so good. So now you have to flip and turn around. Where are you guys right now? I mean, I really like my team, but. I mean, obviously, it's, you know, you need to make some more shots, but
yeah.
You guys were great.
No, we feel good.
When you're making shots, you're ridiculous.
Yeah, we feel good about ourselves. We really do. We won 9 out of 10. Ohio State played a terrific game. They were dialed in. They never let up. They made shots. We weren't good enough defensively in that game. We got in foul trouble. I think the biggest thing for us is continue to build quality depth. When guys come in, we don't lose. If we're up six, it doesn't become tied, or if it's tied, it doesn't go down six. And we've been doing some things in practice I think are going to help us down the stretch here as we go. We'll see. The league's just ridiculous. You can't, you know, it's just, there's never a night off, and it's hard. But we're a very confident group. We want to get a little bit deeper. We want to be, you know, we're really a defensive team, and we weren't on Sunday. We got to get back to being a good defensive team and a rebounding team, a physical team, and we didn't do that. But, yeah, I agree. If we make shots, we're good. It was great to see Wiggins, you know, step up. He made six, and Ala made 3 or 4. I can't remember exactly. So we made 10 in the game, which is pretty good on the road. But if we can get there, that would be great. We got to tweak some things offensively to, I don't know, change up and just not rely on the three so much. But we're working on it and just trying to get better. And you have to, because this league's so good. You can't ever try to stay the same. You always got to keep trying to get better.
Hey, Coach, people talk about – we always compare, like, Jalen Smith, Bruno Fernando, that kind of thing. That's great. But talk, if you don't mind, about how Jalen Smith has, number one, just cut his body up. He looks fantastic. And number two, his mentality is not near the same. And I know you got mad at him at Bloomington, but I got to tell you, I know those guys sitting in the front row at Bloomington. I'm so happy he went after him. I'm not going to lie. I'm so happy he went after those guys. But his mentality to do that was different, was it not, than what it had been in years past?
Yeah. I started to see a little bit of his senior year. It was one of his last games. He wasn't getting a really good whistle and ended up getting a technical in the game. And I remember I was sitting there watching. I'm getting on the high school rep about that was wrong. He's a great kid. You're letting the other team just beat the heck out of him. And you know how it is. You're trying to protect your guys. But you know, just to see him grow from his freshman year, we totally relied on Bruno to, you know, the first few games this year, he wasn't extremely confident and then just became this real confident kid. And just happy, smiling, relaxed, enjoying life kind of deal. So, yeah, I was mad at him because I corrected him once, and I had to go correct him again. And usually you tell Jalen something once, and he handles it the right way because he was raised the right way. But I part of me also loved it that he had the, you know, guts to do something like that in that building and put up those numbers. So he's continued to do it. He's continued to make big plays. He's got a lot on his plate. I'm really proud of him. Kyle Tartt, my strength coach, does a terrific job with all my players. I think Jalen's put on like 33 pounds. Since he's been here, you know, mostly muscle, does a great job of taking care of his body, eating right, doing what it takes to be the best player that he can be.
Yeah, talking about his game, I mean, you've given him a little bit more freedom. I mean, you know, we know he can shoot the ball. I mean, he made big shots. How do you find that balance? I mean, he can score in that mid post. He can also pick and pop and knock down threes. He's shooting almost like 40% from the 3-point line, or he was couple of days ago. How do you find that balance with him? Kind of give him his head a little bit, but also make sure that he sticks his nose in the fray.
Yeah, that's the thing. And I think we've gotten a little too caught up on the three lately. And we got to get a little bit of the, like you say, mid range, driving the ball around the basket, second chance points, all that kind of stuff. So, I like when he's shooting threes. I like when he's feeling good. Then we're really hard to guard. We're much, much, we can spread the floor. It opens things up for Anthony, a little bit. But, we're trying to find that where, our league is so good and so big, and there's so many good big guys and so many big, strong guys. It's been hard for Jalen to score around the basket as much as I was hoping he'd be able to do. But I think as the season, winds down here and we get into postseason, put him around the basket a little bit more to go with that three and just make it a, really hard for the team to prepare for him.
Coach, a couple things. Dante Scott okay?
Yeah, I think he'll be fine. He's a tough kid. He limps every day in practice. There's always something, knee, ankle, weight, elbow. He's one of those guys.
Yeah.
He's got a little strain there, so we'll see. We'll probably limit him today in practice today, and hopefully he's full go tomorrow night.
All right, but you played some different guys. Mario played a little bit. He looked good, by the way. I mean, I don't know if he played well, but sitting on my couch eating bonbons, he was moving his feet. I mean, he looked pretty healthy to me. Hart got a time. He took a shot early. Are you trying to do seventh man by committee kind of a thing, or as need type of deal?
Yeah, we struggled obviously with that, with consistency and shooting the ball, and it's more to me about playing smart and playing well defensively, and that's what I'm trying to figure out. Who's going to give me that? Who's going to go in there and just make the right play and then play as well as they can defensively? Ricky Lindo did that for us at Michigan State. Didn't do that Sunday at Ohio State. But Joel's been working really hard. We've been doing a lot of jump training with him, been putting in extra work. Our goal is for him to be, come tournament time, a guy that can really help us 8 to 10, 12 minutes a game, block some shots, and keeps working. He's come a long ways in 4 weeks. We got another 4 weeks to the tournament, so we'll see. But that's big. Played Akeem Hart the other day. I like his size. He's 6'7". He's a really smart player. Just trying to figure it out. We're in the position we're in. We know we're in the NCAA tournament. It's just trying to get us playing our best basketball at the right time. So we're trying some different things. Hopefully it's going to work. Hopefully it's going to stick. Hopefully we become a better team. But it is by committee. It was Sorrell's the seventh man. It was committee with the rest of the guys. And maybe it's Akeem Hart becomes that wing for us. I don't know. Maybe it's Sorrell and then committee by the rest of the guys, but we were all really happy for Chol. 2.5 years of being hurt, major surgery on each leg, didn't practice till late December, mid-December, whatever it was, and to do what he did in that game against one of the best centers in the country, we were really happy for him. So it's a step in the right direction.
Now, how do you deal with your volunteer assistant, Scott Van Pelt? I know we're coming in for game day. I mean, what is the best advice has he given you? Because I know he's deeply involved in making sure that you're making all the right decisions.
Yeah, he loves it, and I got a passionate fan group, as you know. Scott and I become good friends, so that helps. I know what it's like to be a fan and be passionate about a team. So I get it. And, he loves it. He's been a really good friend. His wife, Stephanie. Beautiful family. So, I love that he's going to be here Saturday. It means a lot when he's around. He went to Illinois, with us for that game and got him in the locker room after the game and all that stuff. So it's big for him. It's big for our program that he's so visible and that he loves it. So he's a good friend. Great guy. What a career he's got going. He's doing some terrific things and, he's one of the best at what he does.
And he's moving back to D.C. just so he can hang out with you and help you any way he can. You know that.
Yeah, no doubt. No doubt. I'm so happy for him. I'm so happy for him. So I might get to play a little bit more golf with him, which would be fun this summer. Get to hang out with him.
Hey, Mark, game day coming. Seth mentioned that. What does that mean to your program?
Well, it means a lot, too, because we've earned it. It's like potential is going to happen, but you got to earn it. and it just wasn't given to us. And that's really what it means the most to me and my program. I know everybody's going to be excited. I know the fan base is, you know, over the moon for it. I just want to, you know, I want to win tomorrow so I can come in here happy on Saturday or feeling better about ourselves. And, you know, it's never easy on the road. So we just want to play well and have a good feeling about ourselves going into Saturday. But I know our fan base will be fired up. Game's been sold out for months. It's a big game, obviously, and we're looking forward to it. But it'll be a great day, and I know that College Park will be rocking. And Seth, you know how it is, and Dan, you know how it is around here when it's really rocking. It's a lot of fun.
Yeah, it's a great environment. Well, we're really excited. It's a long day. I mean, you know, the year we hosted it when I was at Virginia Tech, that 8 o'clock tip, you know, that's a long day for everyone. You know, you have all the hoopla with game day, and then you got 8 hours before you play, and, you know, keeping your kids, making sure they're rested and off their feet and don't get too caught up in it and understand they got a game to play, obviously.
You won't see us much. And I've told my SID very little. Because, you know, we got a 9 o'clock Eastern game Wednesday night in Minnesota, only God knows why. And so we're going to have to get as much rest as we can. So they pushed it to 8 thinking that would help us. I'd really, you know, so we're going to keep our guys off our feet, try to not get emotionally involved in game day and just lock in on Michigan State.
Good stuff. Sounds good, Terge.
Thanks,
really,
coach.
Really appreciate you doing this, man.
Okay.
Really do.
Hey, coach, by the way, I've done 100 of your games, and I always appreciate how gracious you are with all of us, man, going back to Orlando and the access and everything else. I just want to tell you that. Thank you for that.
I appreciate it. All right, Dan. All right, guys.
Man.
Be good.
All right, man. Thanks, Terge.
Hey, this is Dan Dockich, and we got to talk about my friends at 5-Hour Energy. Anyone who travels frequently knows how tiring it can be. Whether you're on business or on a vacation, a 5-Hour Energy shot can help you stay alert and energized wherever you may be headed. 5-Hour Energy helps you get through your crazy on-the-go life. Zero sugar, 4 calories, and a convenient portable size. It's the perfect pick-me-up for busy, hard-working people. Now it comes in 2 great extra-strength topical tastes, strawberry banana, Tropical Burst. They're delicious, and you've got to give them a try. Try them both. Go online to shop the number 5hourenergy.com. Use the code COURTSIDE to receive a one-time offer of 10% off your order. Go to shop 5hourenergy.com and use the code COURTSIDE to receive a one-time offer of 10% off. 5-Hour Energy, energy on the go. Hey, that was Mark Turgeon. Look, Seth, you were there first time they played. Cowan took the game over late. Now it's going to be Maryland, who has a tough stretch, by the way. They've got Minnesota, as Coach just said, at Minnesota. Then they've got to come back and in a revenge-type game with Michigan State, and we all know that Coach Izzo will have his crew ready. But, Seth, what do you expect after being there for game one?
It's interesting. There were 3 games in game one. There were 3 games. First half, Maryland dominated the game. They knocked Michigan State back, dominated the glass, moved the Michigan State defense. The only 2 guys that showed up in the first half offensively for Michigan State were Cassius Winston and Xavier Tillman, and basically in ball screens where Cassius dragged 2 and made some really good pocket passes. They got absolutely tortured physically, just out tough. They didn't guard the ball, Michigan State. They didn't rebound the basketball, and no one else stepped up. Second half starts, and all of a sudden, Rocket Watts makes a couple of shots. More guys got involved offensively. They started to compete defensively, rebound the ball, did a good job defending Cowan and some of the ball screen actions with stick. They're up 7 points legitimately. This is exactly what happened. They're up 7 points with, I think, 2 minutes to go, and I'm turning to Reese Davidson saying, I don't think that Maryland can score 7 points in 2 minutes. And then it was like, bam, 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 bam. I mean, it was Cowan 3, Smith 3, Cowan 3, Cowan 3 again. Game was over with an A. Maryland probably dominated the game 25 minutes of the game. Michigan State competed about 15. I mean, you know, Tom's going to say we got to check people, we got to rebound the ball, and we got to figure out what the hell we're doing, you know, with Cowan late game and late clock. I think it's going to be an absolutely incredible game. But now Maryland had guys step up in that game. Wiggins stepped up in that game. Ayala stepped up in that game. You know, you had guys contribute off the bench and make shots. And Maryland makes shots, they're good. Second half, those guys didn't impact the game. but Mariano Rivera, Anthony Cowan did at the end of the game. So it's going to be, I think it's going to be a blast, an incredible atmosphere and two really good teams.
Man, I agree. And watching Maryland all year, the one thing that Coach Turgeon did say right there was when that technical came and they lost Cowan, he said, you know, Dan, we've won games like this all year. And I'm telling you, I'm going back to Orlando in November where they would get down in the first half and sometimes look putrid. And then the second half, it was either in one game, it was Ayala, but it was mostly Cowan. And that really hasn't changed. I think they need to get off to a fairly good start here. I always, you know, people always say, well, key to the game is a good start. Okay. No, it's not. I mean, the key to the game is just playing really well the entire game. Right. But I do think that for Maryland, you can only, do you agree with this? You can only come back so many times from a bad half against good teams. You know, like you can do it in some of these non-conference, right?
100%.
Against good teams now. Yeah.
100%. You only have so many bolts. I mean, like you only have so many of those runs and those stops, and no matter how good you, and it starts on the defensive end, as you know, and they are really good defensively. Sitting there watching that first half, courtside, like just watching the game, like, and not as a fan, but more, you know, a little analytically, but I mean, it's right in front of you. They are really, really good defensively. I mean, and you know, I use the word connected or whatever, you can use whatever you want. I mean, they work together. I mean, they talk, you can see them talking, they're pointing, they're recovering, they're alert. I mean, all the things you want a good defense, and they're long. Excluding Anthony Cowan, they're long. I mean, Marcel is long and you know, they've got some, you know, Scott is physical. Like he's kind of a little bit like the X factor to me. I think Scott is really, really good.
Versatile. Really good. Really, really good. All right, Seth, let me go through a couple of things. Kentucky, I think SportsCenter on Tuesday here did a thing about no one's talking about Kentucky, and I agree, but we go back to what we said earlier in the podcast. I don't know that anybody's playing better than Kentucky other than maybe Kansas, Seth. They're only a 5.5-point favorite at Texas A&M. I am telling you, one of two things is going to happen for me and my listeners today, Seth, and maybe people that if they get this by before the Kentucky game, we're either going to get so filthy rich or we're going to be homeless, broke, because that's the lock of the century. Kentucky going in there -5.5 because I think Kentucky's playing really well, and I think Kentucky, whatever you want to win, they can win it right now, in my opinion. Anything you want, national championship.
I think Kentucky's playing really well defensively. Really well defensively. But offensively, at times, they get to a crawl. And at times, when they get in foul trouble, they get stuck. And at times, Nick Richards is ignored, and at times he didn't have a rebound. He and E.J. Montgomery didn't have a rebound the other day in the first half. So, like, I agree with that. I think Kentucky's a team that could go really deep. They've got to get more creative offensively. They cannot get in foul trouble, especially Ashton Hagans. Now, can they disrupt you? Yes. But while they're disrupting, and do they protect the rim? I mean, the other day, I mean, it was Nick Richards in the second half just blocking out the sun. But at times they let people play with them. They let people play with them. And at times late in the game, I'll tell you one thing. I know you're stone cold locked, but late in the game, you know, one thing about Cal, he's shortening that game. He ain't going from six to 15. I mean, he's going right to that circle two, circle three, running manual quickly off those bumps on the baseline every once in a while, getting a middle penetration the game's going to get shorter. Now, Manuel Quickley should be in the conversation for SEC Player of the Year because he shows up every night. Every stinking night he shows up. Now, Mason Jones, Nick Richards needs to be in the conversation as well, but Manuel Quickley has had an incredible year that no one's even talking about.
All right, let me ask you about a couple teams and just get your thoughts. You were there when North Carolina State beat Duke and beat them bad. They go to North Carolina tonight, Tuesday night. Your thoughts on North Carolina State? Clearly a bubble team.
Hey, look, here's the deal. If they don't win tonight, just
done, right?
You got to validate the Duke win. I mean, it's simple. You're playing against a Carolina team that, you know, has some talent. I don't know if Garrison Brooks is playing today or not, and, you know, can give you problems, and you know, Cole Anthony, who I think is, he's an F to me. I'm not an NBA draft guru, but like, tell me the one thing he does really well. We throw up all over ourselves. And, you know, look, I love that he came back and played. I absolutely love it. But then when I look at his game, is he strong? Yes, he is strong. You know, but I don't look at one thing and say, well, is he going to make the game easier for anyone else? Is he a great shooter? He does play to contact. Is he a disruptive defender? But this is a game that NC State, look, you got Markel Johnson. I called it my senior games. Markel Johnson, CJ Bryce. You want to go to the NCAA tournament? Go win this game.
Right. I mean, Oklahoma plays Texas Tech. Same thing. Texas Tech.
I don't see Oklahoma being, they might be a lock in the NCAA tournament because the field is so messed up. But I mean, like, Oklahoma doesn't excite me. I mean, like, they have a win against Minnesota. They lost to Stanford. They lost to Wichita State. They lost to Creighton. I mean, who are their marquee wins? Lost at Iowa State, lost to Kansas, lost at Baylor. They beat TCU. They lost at Kansas State. They beat Oklahoma State. I mean, like they better start winning some games. Like, they're like West Virginia. They got to figure out how to score. I mean, you know, Texas Tech, the same thing. But I think Texas Tech is in better shape. At least they have – Texas Tech has some quality wins.
Like, do you buy Memphis? Do you buy Memphis?
No, they got to win a lot of games.
Do you buy James? Did you buy James Wiseman moaning about his punishment was unfair on your show?
No, I didn't buy that at all. But we didn't really get into that because it was hijacked. But not at all. Because like, here's the thing. I mean, Memphis screwed that kid because Memphis, all they had to do is, you know, basically say, yeah, right. You know, it's the rule. We can like it or not like it, but that's the rule. We understand that. We're going to deal with it, appeal it, maybe the number of games. They probably would have gotten four games. The other thing with Wiseman's thing is he is a very bright kid and he's a very nice kid. But like, the way that works, he didn't have to pay the $15,000 back in one lump sum. If he gave $200 back, through his, you know, special assistance or cost of attendance or Pell Grant, or if he's receiving it. And then all he had to do is, at the end of his eligibility, he would have paid it back. Well, you know, as soon as he played his last game, he's signing a shoe contract. He's signing with a money manager. He's signing with an agent. He could have paid the money back, and Memphis could have kept all the wins, and he probably would have missed four games. But no, Memphis decided to, you know, puff their chest out and, you know, think that they were changing the world, but the rules are the rules. And basically, Memphis screwed the kid. And what happened was, once he was deemed ineligible and didn't play, they went on the road and played a bunch of games. And he was separated from his team. And you know what happens when a player that's ineligible or hurt or something is separated from his team? He doesn't feel part of it. And that's exactly what happened. And all of a sudden, static around him happens. And what happened? Now, he's a very nice kid. He came to the Adidas All-American camp we had. And he's really a pleasant kid that I think the president of Memphis absolutely screwed him. End of conversation. Drop the mic.
Because they were going to take – they made this big deal about taking the NCAA on.
Yeah. And, I mean, come on. I mean,
and as you said at the time, you got to have some rules. I mean, you can't have chaos.
I mean, like, the rules are the rules until they change. And I did a game with Penny the other day, UConn. I thoroughly enjoyed talking ball with Penny Hardaway. Thoroughly enjoyed talking ball. He knows the history of the game. He cares about it. Yeah, I just think they got caught up. You know, no one at Memphis understood the business of college basketball, and that fight was not, they were not winning that fight, and they hurt the kid.
So you're saying Memphis hurt the kid, not the business of college basketball?
Well, Memphis, because Memphis didn't understand the business of college basketball, because they fought something they couldn't win, and they tried to grandstand it. And the president of Memphis, you know, thought he was going to puff his chest out. I'm doing what's right for the world. And he, in the end, he hurt his own school and he hurt the kid. Now the kid will be fine. I mean, I think the kid's number one pick in the draft. I mean,
me too.
That's me. I think he's up. You look at upside and it's an upside. I look at it, you know, Anthony Edwards gets a dunk and everyone goes, ooh, look at that. He gets a dunk. But like, you got to know how to play and you got to be able to play off ball screens and you got to, you know, I mean, like, he's a tremendous prospect, Anthony Edwards, but like, he's not Donovan Mitchell. I mean, because you know Donovan Mitchell, when he came out, he had a much better feel for the game.
That's interesting because a lot of people are talking about Ball. Nobody's ever – so many guys are talking about LaMelo Ball and no one's ever seen him. I mean, so I don't – look, yeah, okay, fine. But, I mean, Wiseman, to me, if he got screwed, then you got to sometimes look at the people around. Hey, Seth, let me go this route with you. People forget about the West Coast. They remembered because two teams got beat. They remembered because San Diego State got beat, lost their undefeated season. They remembered because Gonzaga got beat by BYU. We talked about BYU earlier. Here's the question I have about the West Coast. Are teams winning, and I'm going to use Arizona State and UCLA, are they winning because they're gotten really good, or are they winning because they've settled into a bad league?
Yeah, that's a great question. Arizona State is interesting because when they play those three guards – those three guards are good now. Randy Martin, Edwards, and Verdi. I think that's the pronunciation. Those three guys can put a lot of pressure on you. And Romello White, now that he's healthy, has given him something pretty interesting up front. He rebounds and he finishes around the basket. UCLA, we talked about it earlier. When he first went there, I'm not the culture thing. I'm down on culture. I'm up on identity. I mean, Mick was very different than Steve. That's just the way it was. His priorities of how to play. And I think early on they fought the identity that Mick wanted to have. Now he's got him buying into the identity and believing that it can win. They're winning games. To really totally buy in, they've got to beat USC because USC's been totally inconsistent. They're going to have another opportunity to do that. And they beat Arizona, which is at the top of one of the teams at the top of the league. They've got to keep it going. They've got talent. I mean, it's not like they have no talent. But, yeah, I mean, I think the league is good. But the league's no different than anyone else besides the Big East and the Big Ten. I mean, yeah. So the Big Ten and the Big East, you know, they don't have the three teams at the top like the ACC. But, you know, all those other, you know, I don't think they're very much different. There are some good teams. They're good, some good, well-coached teams. You know, Colorado's a well-coached team. They play hard. You know, Utah's hard to play against because it's that mountain region swing when you go Colorado and Utah. Washington's talented, but they've underachieved.
Wow.
There's some good, I saw them beat Baylor. I mean, yeah. Shoot. Now they lost Quade Green, but, you got to go to class to be eligible.
You know, one of the things about UCLA and I had this debate with my producer, the great Bart Fox. He said to me, what's the best college basketball program historically? And if you look at it, guys that are our age that don't really study basketball would say UCLA because of the championships. Younger folks would say Duke. But if you look at it, North Carolina has been in the Final Four, the only school that's been in the Final Four every year since 1940 or every decade since 1940. Okay, having said that, college basketball, I think, is much better when UCLA is really good. And here's what this weekend sets up. This weekend sets up Arizona State for first place in the Pac-12 on the 27th, and then on the 29th, Arizona comes in again. Could be another first place opportunity. So you got two home games at Pauley to play for a conference title. That's good for college basketball, in my opinion, Seth. Really good for college basketball.
It's great, and I mean, look, those four letters are powerful, man. Those four letters are powerful. I mean, and when they're relevant, it's good for college basketball. And when you have, I just think about the number of races we have for league championships right now. Let's get out of the Pac-12. Let's think across the board. ACC, undecided. Pac-12, undecided. Big Ten, it's still a race. And yeah, these things are important because these determine buys in conference tournaments, which give you a chance to win another championship. Like, there's a double bye in the ACC. That's pretty much decided, the four top teams there. But, I'm with you. I'm with you. I mean, I think that, I got a question. UCLA, what do they have to do to get the NCAA tournament?
Well,
they got a loss to Cal State Fullerton.
Yeah. I mean, if we're going to go the whole,
Kentucky's got a loss to Evansville.
I know. And that's not getting any better, that Evansville. That Evansville loss.
Yeah, I know.
I would say this, Seth. I would say win these last three games, including one, which they say is on the road. It is at USC. Beat Arizona, beat Arizona State, and take your chances with a win or two in a conference tournament. And, put yourself at the mercy of the court. See, Seth, to me, I think the NCAA tournament is a place for the hot team. I understand all the whining about the last 10 don't matter. Well, in my opinion, the last 10 do matter. In my opinion, doesn't mean I'm right. I want hot teams. I don't care necessarily what you did in the Champions Classic to open up the year. I don't. I do at the time because it's fun to watch, but I want to see what you're doing now when you are a bubble team. And if UCLA runs that, who the hell wants to see UCLA?
No. UCLA does that. They get 20 wins going into the
Do you know they're only 76 though in the net?
Yeah, but I'll tell you one thing. If they beat Arizona State, those will be two quad one wins.
And Arizona State's 41st.
So that's a top 50.
Yeah, that's a top 50.
It's got to be top 30 at home.
Well, that's it. That, right? And Arizona, did you know this? Did you know Arizona's seventh in the net? Yeah, seven.
So that would be a quad one.
Yes.
And at USC would be a quad one. So they'd have two more quad one wins.
Right. And one would be a road game.
And one would be a road game. And that would be, and they would have won. Yeah, I know it doesn't.
Eight in a row.
The problem.
They would have won eight in a row.
Here's the problem. And we all know. I mean, you know, the BYU loss is the Hofstra is not a bad loss. It's not a terrible loss. It's a bad loss. Cal State Fullerton, not so much. You know, I mean, and the other ones, I mean, Notre Dame's a bad loss, not a terrible loss. North Carolina, that's an if loss. I mean, I'm not sure Cole Anthony was playing at that time. Washington State. But I still think if they win those games, because the field, you start looking at the teams in the bottom of the bubble, none of those teams have good wins. A lot of good wins, let's put it that way. And they all have bad losses anyway. They all have bad losses.
That's where I think Indiana's going to be in. They have four quad one wins. And they don't have any bad losses.
I think they're in.
I do too.
I think they're going to be in.
Yeah, I do too. I think that, you know, like right now, BYU is 14th, says, so you're, that's not a bad loss. That's a good loss. I've not been able to find USC as I'm scrolling. But anyway, my point is, I like teams that get hot. I like teams that either have been good throughout the course of the season, great throughout the course of the season, or I like teams that are on fire. And to me, if I were sitting in that committee room, somebody would have to convince me why a loss way back when would keep them out relative to a team that maybe had some good wins way back when, but is losing games now. I want a little bit of heat running into the tournament, Seth Greenberg.
Well, I think that there's value to that. And look, I mean, any team that's playing well at the end of the season, if they have a good little mojo and they feel good about themselves. That's like these mid-major teams that win 25 and 26 games. Those guys expect to win games these days.
Right.
Like you talk about anyone can get to the Final Four. Well, you win 25 games. If you're like 25 and 5, like you've won a lot. Like you have that feeling a lot.
Right.
Like you line up and when the ball goes up, you expect to win. And I think that's one thing that I'm not sure people understand, but you know, people say we got to give the little guy a chance. There just aren't a lot of little guys that deserve the chance this year. I mean, you've got East Tennessee and maybe Greensboro. I don't think Furman's at that point. You know, I would have said Northern Iowa, but right now they're losing too many bad games.
Yes.
So they've got to win their conference tournament. So you start going through it. Maybe Yale and Harvard, maybe. You know, from the Ivy League, which would be, you know, an interesting deal. There's no one from the Mountain West. Maybe Utah State, they keep it going. Maybe, you know, Mac is what the Mac always is.
Yeah. I mean, somebody will make a case and they won't get in, basically. You know what I mean?
Yeah. And then, you know, the A-10, I think Rhode Island's done enough. They don't fall on their face right now. You've got obviously, you've got Dayton that's really taking care of business. VCU has struggled. They didn't get that marquee out of conference win. It's hard to find teams in those other leagues that you just say, hey, well, you know, I'm not taking that team because that team, you know, I'm sticking up for the little guy. It's hard to find those guys right now. It really is.
Well, you know what we're going to hear. I'm sticking up for the little guy. The three things we always hear. Dickie V, I'm sticking up for the little guy. JB saying the bracketing wasn't perfect, and the guy who's the head of the selection committee saying it's who you beat and where you beat them. Then we have a great tournament.
And then you go look back and you say, wait a second, that team didn't fit that.
I know. That's exactly right. And that makes that gives us 2 hours of television.
Exactly. It was on Selection Sunday. We're going to have the same, you know, scuttlebutt. All right. So let's do something as we wrap up here. Well, we can't do Kentucky today. So let's look at some games later in the week. Let's do that.
Okay.
Because I know you're the king of picking games and you love.
I'm pretty hot lately, but I don't have spreads here because the damn spreads don't, at least in my DraftKings, doesn't come out in time. Doesn't come out 3 days in advance, but that's all right. I'll tell you who's going to win. Go ahead. Give it to me.
All right, because you're the man. I want to find a good game here. I mean, I want to find. Looks
Kentucky
like
tonight. I'm telling you, Kentucky tonight's going to make us
Kentucky tonight. So
all over.
All right, tell you, a lot of pressure for you to get that thing up there quick because I mean that is big news. All right, Maryland at Maryland at Minnesota.
I'm going to take Maryland and give whatever points that you need to give, and I don't believe. See, Daniel Arturo, everybody loves, but I think Daniel Arturo is good enough to get you fired. Doesn't guard, they can shoot it. He's number 7 in the mock drafts, and that's great, but you don't win much with Daniel Arturo. And it's proven. Yeah, so I'm going to take Maryland, and I think it'll probably be a 5-6 point spread. I'll give you the 5 or 6. I'll take Maryland.
All right. How about Michigan State, Iowa at Michigan State? This is a big game because I'm convinced. And I've said this before. I want to see Cassius Winston get in world-class shape before the tournament. And I think once they start the tournament, clean slate, those guys can breathe. They can see the finish line and they can really invest in the last 2 weeks of the season. That's my take. But they still got games to play. Iowa, Michigan State.
I'm not allowed.
Good, man.
I'm in a contract year and they tell you I'm doing the game tonight, so I don't want to pick it. So you tell me.
Oh, all right. All right.
If I went into contract year, I'd pick and take the fallout.
Yeah, I would say Michigan State.
There you go.
Look, here's the deal. Michigan State at home's got to win. Now they got to match. They can't, you know, Garzilla could foul out their whole front court. And this is a game that's really, really hard for Bingham to play because he can't guard that dude. He's just too big, too strong, plays too hard. And, you know, I'm interested to see how they get matched up front with him.
Marble.
This is a game Marble's got to play, just even if nothing else, just to put a big body on him. Cause I mean, he's just so relentless, but I got Michigan State, figuring out a way to win this.
High scoring game?
Michigan. Yeah. That thing was going to go up and down.
Mm-hmm.
You know what Michigan, Wisconsin. We'll kill it at that one.
Where's it at? After
that. Michigan, Wisconsin. It's at Michigan.
Michigan by 15.
10. Whoa.
10 to 15.
10 to 15.
Yep.
Wisconsin
and I'll tell you,
hasn't lost since they've had that player, Kobe King, lead the team. Is that correct?
Yeah, and so much misinformation from media about that whole deal. And it's sad, really, for the whole program that the misinformation, and they're a much better team without Kobe King. But I really like what Michigan's doing. I like them at home. I think they play – they found their stride defensively. They figured out what was once the worst post defense in America. It's now not the worst post defense in America. And I think that Juwan is doing a terrific job of navigating through stuff. But I will also tell you this, Seth. I know in the Big Ten, everybody talks about Chambers and Pikel as coaches of the year, and they talk about it because of the resurrection of the program. But in terms of navigating a year from the whole tragic Howard Moore deal to Kobe King leaving to a variety of injuries, ain't nobody done a better job in this country maybe than Greg Gard. I'm telling you.
I agree with you.
Is he done good? And I understand, hey, look, well, what about this guy? Yes, everybody's done a fantastic job, but nobody's done a better job than Greg Gard. Nobody. He's been terrific.
I say this all the time, and I think the hardest thing to do is when you lose momentum to gain it back. Hardest thing to do. I think Ed Cooley and Greg Gard are two guys, two different situations that have done as good a job as any coaches in the country because both of those teams – at one point of the season, we're in disarray.
Yes.
And both of those teams now are playing at a high level. And I said it the other day, the hardest thing as a coach to do is to get your team back to believing they can win and trusting you and gaining back momentum. And I agree, Greg Gard, if you think about the cloud that hung over their team with that situation and all they've done since then is come together. And it's just another example of if you don't have everyone – my February locker room, if you don't have everyone pulling in the same direction in the month of February in your locker room, you got no chance.
I agree.
You're done. But once you do, you're good. All right, last game, and then we're going to say goodbye. UCLA, Arizona State at UCLA.
Woo, I think it'll be packed. I can see Vince Vaughn showing up. I can see hopefully Jennifer Aniston showing up. If she shows up, I'm flying out. I'm going with the Bruins. I'll take them money line. That should be a pretty even spread. Two hot teams. I think the Fighting Mick Cronins get her done at home. What do you think?
I think that they got to take care of the basketball, which I think is really, really important. They got to take care of basketball, UCLA, and they've got. I think the defense will contain the frenzied pace of Arizona State. I think you're right. I think you're right.
The Fighting
Mick. All right, my friend. I will speak to you tonight at halftime.
Can't wait. Give me something good.
Yeah, I'm working on my halftime questions. I'm trying to get them out in English these days. You know, you got someone in your ear saying, we got to go. The ball's getting back in play. I mean, well, I go after Fonz. Fonz asks, you know, pontificates for a long period of time, you know, which he's the best, but it's always good. But then
quit hijacking Seth Greenberg on Saturdays and at halftimes. Let's free Seth Greenberg. It's like free Meek Mill.
Oh, stop, please. All right. Go have a radio show, will you please?
See you guys.
Thank you for listening to Courtside with Greenberg and Dockage. You can listen and subscribe to all ESPN podcasts in the Listen tab of the ESPN app, including the latest from the NBA and the Hoop Collective podcast, available in the ESPN app or Apple Podcast.